but it appears that the university was it appears the university was out of transcript paper, so they did supply a note indicating that they were trying to replenish their supply of transcript paper, and as a result, could only submit the official transcripts on white letter paper. But they did supply that note, and it was signed by a school official. He did complete over 2,000 independent fieldwork hours through an LBA in Tucson from the periods of September 2019 to about October of 2021. I reviewed the application and I don't see any concerns, and I would recommend that it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
All right.
The only piece that I would add is that I wondered if he is not licensed in Texas, correct? Because he indicated no. It was just that because I was looking at the licensing regulation information, there was just a supervisor, right, that was supervised. But he does not hold a license in Texas as of today, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I was just making sure. Thank you.
Yeah. And he actually, it looks like at some point he did, relocate to Arizona, and his supervised hours were all done in Arizona.
Yep. Cool.
Great. All right. Thank you. Next application is Dorica Boyzon Calzado. And I'm the lead on that one. Ms. Calzado received her BCBA certificate in September of 2022. She graduated in October of 2019 from ABA España with a Master's of Intervention, ABA in Autism and Other Developmental Disabilities. She received 1,640 hours of supervision under an Arizona licensed behavior analyst. I did not know any concerns and would recommend them move forward to the board for approval. Okay. All right. Next application is Bonnie Keys. Ms. Denton, you're the lead on that.
Thank you. Ms. Keys passed her exam in August of 2019 after graduating in December of 2017 with a Master's of Education in Curriculum and Instruction from Arizona State University. She received her supervision in the state of Colorado from June of 2018 until the end of June of 2019. While reviewing her experience hours, I did have a little bit of concern. It's likely a mistake on there, but that would be my assumption. It shows that we have 1,625 hours completed under one Sierra Hyatt, an additional 1,500 hours completed by Lindsay Patterson, an additional 1,500 hours completed by Christine Aguilera. All of these hours occurred across the same time period. My presumption is that these were all at the same location, that they were supervised in individual components, but whenever we're submitting individual experience verification forms for each of these individuals, I am led to believe that these are all those number of hours. So I would like to see, before we move this application forward, that is corrected. Additionally, I think there needs to be a little bit of clarification on the address. There is an address provided in Colorado, but the license comes from Texas. So with that being said, I am not sure where this individual resides. If they do reside in Texas, there is not a license held for practicing behavior analysis in the state of Texas. If it is in Colorado, that's a different story. I think ultimately we just need a little bit more information before we move forward with this application, specifically what is your address, and then clarification on the number of hours. So that we don't exceed specifically that 130 hours per month. Even if we discounted two of those supervisors, we would still hit the 1500 hours, but I think just as a point of accuracy on the application, it would be good to get clarification.
All right. Any further comments on that? Anybody? Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Denton. All right, next application is Shane Mannion. I'm the lead on that one. Mr. Mannion received his BCBA certificate in February of 2019. He graduated in September of 2018 from Capella University with a Master's of Science in Applied Behavior Analysis. He received 1,561 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors who are Arizona licensed behavior analysts. Of note, on the Arizona Board of Psychological Examiners supervised work experience form on item 3D, that was marked no, and that's in regard to training, designing analytic behavioral systems and management performance. By a supervisor, Nicole Geiger. In the following emails between Ms. Malice and Ms. Geiger, Mr. Mannion indicated that those areas, Ms. Geiger was indicated those areas were supervised, particularly the email found on page 22 of the PDF. But other than that, I did not know any other concerns with this application. I wondered if my other committee members were comfortable with this or if they'd like further documentation from the applicant.
I mean, really, what would they provide? What would be this further information, Dr. Stanoff?
The only information is the supervisor did provide it. I don't know if there need to be an official form marking that it's in fact a yes because of the indication found in the email. Since it is a board document and it'd be a permanent file, that'd be the only addition would be the change on 3D from no to yes.
Does the email chain go back in there? Is it part of the entire file, Ms. Pakkinen? So the explanation would be in there.
Yes.
I don't see any reason to hold it up. Maybe if they just want to submit the clarification, then, you know, I don't see any reason to hold it though.
Okay. Would the board find the explanation found in the email to be adequate then without refiling another document regarding the supervised hours?
Ms. Galvin, would that, I guess here's where my struggle is what's being discussed and described, is that still under the auspices of a substantive review that the committee needs to do before, because it's would constitute a recommendation to the board? I don't know. I'm not sure where this falls. Under the committee's purview or the board's?
I think it's still within the committee's purview. I think that's appropriate. If you didn't want to hold it up, if they could provide that information by Friday, the committee would then kind of be, you know, and I'm delegating its responsibility and authority to the board in that instance to look at it so we don't hold it up.
Okay.
The only change in the documentation, I mean, we've got documented emails from the supervisor. The only thing that is lacking is that check mark in as a yes in 3D. So that would be, there need to be, can we get a verbal approval from Ms. Geiger on that? Or does she need to resubmit an entirely new form that which could potentially hold things up?
I think if she sent an email to staff stating that on 3D, the answer should be, you know, no or yes, whatever it is. Okay. And then they attach that to the application, that would be sufficient.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I may, 3C is also marked as no.
Go there. Oh, correct. Yep. So board staff, would you reach out to Ms. Geiger and see if she would give the approval for both 3C and D as a yes? Okay. Dr. Davis-Wilson?
It appears that she has already answered no to that still in the email from the documents that she is stating she did not supervise him. doing those things. So
it's not an error.
It doesn't. Her email clearly says, I responded no to that question because I did not supervise a student analyst under all of those areas. And then she goes on to say, I did not answer yes because I did not supervise him, or I responded no. She goes, I did not answer yes because I did not supervise him in all of those areas. It looks like Ms. Malice requested additional information to see who did supervise him, and she said she was unsure.
Yeah.
So I would almost wonder if the next steps would be a request for additional information to see who did supervise him there, and perhaps get that person to submit a form attesting to it. If that person exists, if that person doesn't exist, then this will be one of the few, but we've seen it before, times in which someone made it past certification application without meeting all the BACB standards, because this is a BACB standard in addition to ours. And so I think we would have to also be looking at after, you know, if it were not to be the case, looking at action separate from that. But I think that the start would just be a request for information, requesting a supervised experience form from the supervisor who experienced or who supervised him doing those two things.
So, Mr. Chair, I guess what I'm hearing is that we're really talking about a fair request. And it needs to be framed broadly enough to allow for any additional documentation to potentially be submitted to address the deficiencies that you're discussing. That documentation may or may not exist, but you know, the fair is the mechanism to try to obtain it, I think.
Yeah. And if we could get, if we could clarify in the fair that we want the information for both 3C and for 3D, so there's an allotment for a response for each versus a general response across both.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, it does appear that he may have had supervision prior to, or he lists, sure, or identifies an employer prior to this particular supervisor. So if he was engaged in a supervision relationship with that individual, then perhaps it would be just an easy fix for him to, right, get them to sign it, so long as they were engaged in a supervision contract.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that that's the case. So, okay. Any other comments on that? Okay. Move on to the next application. Deanna Potica Roca. Dr. Davey, you're the lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Potica Roca comes forward seeking licensure. She is a board certified behavior analyst as of August 9th, 2012, graduated from Arizona State University Special Education Program, College of Education, completed her application appropriately, has listed Advanced Autism Centers for Treatment as her supervised experience towards certification and licensure. Her supervisor was licensed in the state of Arizona at the time, as well as her 6 total supervisors, but the one in bulk was Victoria De Forte. All of them were licensed in the state during their work with her, and have provided ample information. Thanks to board staff for catching the lightness of the one document and getting a resubmission of that. I have no concerns with this application and would like to see it move forward.
All right, great. Thank you, Dr. Davey. Next application is Christina Imgrund. Ms. Den, you're the lead on that.
Thank you very much. Ms. Imgrund became a board certified behavior analyst in November of 2019 after receiving a Master's of Education in Special Education from Ball State University in August of 2019. Her supervision occurred in the state of Idaho from January of 2018 until February of 2019. All 1500 hours occurred under Jennifer Fitzpatrick. Looking at this, we can also see that Christina has been licensed in the state of Washington as a licensed behavior analyst, also as an assistant behavior analyst, and as a certified behavior technician in Washington. All of those licenses are in good standing. There is one note on page 9 of the application, question number 9 specifically, the application status that Jennifer was licensed in the same state that supervision took place. Was in Idaho, but it should be noted that Idaho does not require a license. So I think that this is just a simple correction to be made on the form. And if board staff could get that simple correction on there, just to have an accurate answer, I would feel comfortable moving this to the full board.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Denton. Next application is Kayla Williams. I'm the lead on that. Ms. Williams received her BCBA certificate in September of 2022. She graduated in December of 2015 from FIT, Florida Institute of Technology, with a Master of Arts in Behavior Analysis Practice. She received 2,259 hours of supervision in Arizona by licensed behavior analysts. I did not know any concerns and would recommend that it be moved forward to the board for approval. Next application is Zachary Sinix. Let's see, Ms. Den, you're the lead on that. And before you jump in, I need to disclose that I was Mr. Sinix's instructor while he was working on his master's degree. But I feel that I can review this application without bias. I'm wondering if Dr. Davis Wilson might have a similar comment.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I too was an instructor a couple of years ago for Mr. Sinix, and I am comfortable moving forward. I taught one class and we actually have not been in contact since. So I will, I'm comfortable moving forward.
And just for note to you, Ms. Den, Mr. Sinix is on the call as well.
Perfect. All sounds good. I'll go ahead and begin my review. Mr. Sinix passed his exam on September 1st of 2022 to become a board-certified behavior analyst after graduating in May of 2022 with a Master's of Science in ABA from Arizona State University. He received his supervision from October of 2020 until June of 2022. All supervision occurred in the state of Arizona. He received a total of more than 1,500 hours within the appropriate time frame from In Bloom and from the Bisto Center. Overall, I do not note any concerns with this application. All supervisors who supervised Mr. Sinix were licensed in the state of Arizona during the time that supervision occurred. I do not have any concerns about the application and would recommend that it move forward to the full board.
All right, thank you, Ms. Den. Mr. Sinix, since you're on the call, do you have any further comments? Okay, well, thank you for being here. Let's see, next application is Keisha Muhammad. I'm the lead on that application. Ms. Muhammad received her BCBA certificate in June of 2021. She graduated in December of 2015 from Capella University with a Master's of Science in Psychology with a specialization in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received over 2,500 hours of supervision in California, which does not require licensure. She's also a licensed behavior analyst in Oregon and does not have any penalties or disciplinary actions against her. I did not know any concerns with this application and would recommend that it move forward to the board for approval. Okay. Next application is Ann Witten. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Move through these quick. All right, Ms. Witten passed her exam in October of 2020. She is licensed in good standing in Texas as a behavior analyst, also licensed in good standing as a teacher in Texas. She did complete the ASU online program in August of 2019, and then she did complete supervision from a LBA between the periods of November 2018 and June of 2020. I did not see any issues with her application, and I do recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
All right, great. Thank you. Next application is Marilyn Gonzalez Esparza. Ms. Gonzalez Esparza received her BCBA certificate in December of 2020. She graduated in August of 2020 from Florida Institute of Technology with a Master's of Arts in Professional Behavior Analysis. She received 1,841 hours of supervision in California, which does not require licensure. I did not know any concerns with this application and recommend move forward to the board for approval. I do note that she's also on the line. Do you have any further comments, Ms. Gonzalez Esparza?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. All right, next application is Keith Kramer. Dr. Dave, you're the lead on that.
Dr. Davey, you're muted.
I was trying to be polite as I was shredding papers over here. Sorry, Mr. Kramer, I know you're on the call, so you're probably wondering what glorious things I just spoke of. But it was speaking of the fact that you're looking for licensure in the state of Arizona, that you are a board-certified behavior analyst as of September 2022. You've completed your application. You noted Florida Institute of Technology, FIT, is the location where you were enrolled in the psychology department, and your major subject was behavior analysis. In reviewing the documentation that's provided, Mr. Kramer has provided us four different supervised experiences across four different supervisors. He has provided us information with regard to those hours and how they account for his over 2,000, or it's like a truckload of hours, 2,187 total hours from said supervisors and locations. Information that came through from the supervisors do lead to a couple of questions that are somewhat troublesome for me to wrap my head around. We have one individual listed as a supervisor here in Arizona. If the committee is wanting to follow along, it begins on page 17 of 28 of the PDF file. Ms. Chelsea Moore has attested through the final fieldwork verification form that she, in fact, was supervising Keith Kramer for 465 hours here in the state of Arizona. Further, the next set of documents is further indication of that time. She has selected yes for a multitude of the of 1 through 8, and then at number 9, during the entire period of supervision, was the supervisor licensed as a behavior analyst in the same state of which the supervision took place. There is an indication of no. And so we have an individual that appears perhaps was providing supervision to an individual seeking supervision in the state of Arizona, perhaps with Arizona clients, further indicated by 10, saying that the supervision took place in Arizona. Ms. Chelsea Moore does not currently hold a license in the state of Arizona. Also went to take a look at Ms. Moore's perhaps being licensed in Louisiana, which has had licensure since 2014. There has also been no indication of licensure that board staff could find there. And so I will put a pen in all of that and ask that that maybe be added for a future topic, Dr. Stenhoff, at the end of this meeting. Even if we back out Ms. Moore's hours from Mr. Kramer's application, he still has a sufficient number to be able to hit our requirements. And I would be okay with this moving forward for the full board for consideration for licensure.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Board staff, did you make note for us to discuss that for future? Thank you. Any further comments from the committee members on this application? Okay. All right, great. Dr. Davey, you're up again. Selena, yep. Jordan.
Yeah, and just I think important for Mr. Kramer to understand, like, we you know, this, because of what we just discussed, like, this will move forward to the full board for consideration. The question around your supervisor, though, because it's not noticed as part of the discussion of this committee, that we will not get into that at this point. We will then put it as a future agenda item to be able to discuss that with the public. All right. Mr. Kramer, did you have any questions, or you're good?
I am okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Next one. Thank you. You already said I could have this, right, Dr. Stenhoff? I'm good to go.
Yeah, you're good to go. And for your information, Ms. Jordan is also on the call.
Oh, very good. Appreciate her joining, because I do have a couple questions. So Ms. Jordan has come forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona, has been a board certified behavior analyst since August of 2018, filled out her application noting that she studied special education from San Diego State University, also noting that is where she acquired some of her hours for her initial BACB certification, indicating that 750 hours were done by a faculty member of her graduate program. Going through the rest of the application, we have her listed with current employment. We also have some information around her previous employment, where I believe that she is wanting to count some of her supervision as well. So on page 4 of 38, she has marked several of the supervisors that are, here we go, page 5 of 8, she's marked her supervisors that she is identified to accumulate or identified for those providing her with hours towards supervised experience and certification. The information that is then provided, and you will see some back and forth between the applicant and the board staff, is with regard to a couple of questions. One, in kind of deciphering what's going on with the initial 750 hours that were part of her her course of study. And then some further questions that come about from the other 750 hours, if you will, that she's had supervisors sign off on as part of this application. And so I think with that as kind of the primer, these are the questions that I have. The first one, in looking through the documentation with regard to the 750 hours at the university level, I'm still not fully understanding, and I'm glad that Ms. Jordan is here to be able to talk about this in a second, fully not understanding how those 750 hours were completed. As part of that, I know that the reference has been made that, well, I received my master's and I couldn't have received my master's and could not have become a BCBA without having those hours. Those are probably, you know, very true statements, but I'm still just kind of not understanding where on the transcripts I would see 750 hours of supervised field experience show up there. The second issue is the experience verification forms that have been turned in as part of this application. They are the most recent verification forms from the BACB. They are all dated and signed in 2022. However, they are from supervision periods that outdate these forms. They are from supervision periods for 2006 and 2008. I'll just remind the committee members, and Ms. Galvin can correct me if I misstep here, but in terms of our rules, we are very clear that if we're going to have verification forms submitted as part of a licensure package, that is a copy of the BACB final experience form that's signed by the supervisor, and then in addition, submitted by the applicant to the BACB when the applicant applied to the BACB for certification. So the completion of those documents is probably not the correct form that we would want to see for those hours. I think that as we look at the application, the individual who completed the form, don't want to mess up his name, but Dr. Paul Doras completed the correct form. This would be our fieldwork verification form, of which we would be willing to accept from those other two supervisors that filled out the BACB forms. Also of note from Dr. Flores is that he has answered no to question number four with regard to supervised work experience. Did the supervisor observe the applicant engage in behavior analytic activities? The answer to that is no, as this was all group supervision. And so that is also something I will point out to board staff. And so that is my review of this application. Other committee members, if you have anything you'd like to add, happy to hear it. And then hopefully we can hear from Ms. Jordan with regard to some of those questions. And I, at this point, would think that we're probably leaning towards a request for further information.
Ms. Jordan, did you have any responses to Dr. Davies' questions at this time?
Yes, thank you for letting me share. I was a certificated CBA in 2008. And when I completed my intensive practicum providing ABA services to become a BCBA, it was in, I got my BCBA in 2008 and my graduate program was prior to that. And I graduated in 2006. And so those forms are no longer available online. I submitted all of my documentation for completing the 1500 hours of supervision. And since it's, 2022, those papers no longer exist. They no longer exist in my professor, Dr. Hall's documentation. What I do have is the transcripts that show I did the intensive practicum and that I did submit official transcripts for the 750 hours through SDSU.
So and the fourth. Ms. Jordan, can I just pause you right there with the intensive practicum discussion just so we can see clarity before we move forward? So in terms of the supervision from Novata Cares that occurred from looks like June 2006 to July of 2008, was that part of your intensive practicum? Were those three individuals that you've listed, Michelle Kurska, Paul Doris, and Heidi Foster Ellis, is that part of that 700? Is that the 750 intensive
hours? No, that was in addition to the 750 intensive hours.
Okay, so there's 750 hours. So those three supervisors, that is after the fact of you've already accumulated 750 from Dr. Hall, and now you're going out and getting another 750. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And so with regard to Dr. Hall, who is still, when I was prepping for this discussion, still at San Diego State University, is there anything stopping Dr. Hall from completing the form that Dr. Doris completed?
She said that my transcript should be enough.
I appreciate her thoughts on that. However, I've reviewed the transcripts and unless you can help me find where the intensive practicum is called out and would translate into 700 hours, I cannot find that. And again, I'm saying this with all humility. I could have missed it. I could not clearly understand what some of the information on this transcript could have been, but I did not see that called out.
I'm not sure this is your expertise area. So I am definitely willing to talk with Dr. Hall and to see if she can spell it. Could you give me the number of the documentation you need, like the form number that I can ask her to fill out again?
Yeah, I think that as part of kind of our information from our request or for additional information, we'll call that out for you. But I think, and I would love to hear what the committee believes, but I think there's Dr. Hall and at least two other supervisors that need to fill out the State of Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners Supervised Work Experience or Independent Field Work Verification form, as Dr. Doris did. But I will see if others agree with that as well.
Okay.
Dr. Davis-Wilson, you look like you.
We have forms for the other two. So we have forms for the 750 that were done post-practicum experience.
Are you speaking of the ones that are from the BACB?
Correct.
The problem with that, as I read it, and Ms. Galvin can tell me that I'm way out of line here, is that our rules clearly state that if we're going to accept those, that those have to be those were the ones submitted by the applicant to the BACB. These were not submitted. Didn't exist back in the day. So that to me would be problematic. That's under R426403C. With regard to verification of supervised experience that meets R426404.2, and it goes on to list what those experiences look like in those forms. And that's where it calls out specifically, I'll quote, submitted by a copy of the BACB final experience verification form, which are the two we're talking about, signed by a supervisor, in fact done, however, submitted by the applicant to the BACB when the applicant applied to the BACB for certification.
So yes, that is correct.
So it disqualify those that would need to be redone under our forms.
Agreed.
Yeah, and the issue is that then when I submitted them to the BACB, that was just it. I submitted them, and so I don't have access to those anymore. That's why I said, oh, well, I am a BCBA, so how could I have become a BCBA without submitting those forms? But I understand that Arizona licensure has different requirements.
Yeah, it's not necessarily we have different requirements. There's just a couple of documents that we need you to complete that would, you know, that essentially align then with the 1500 hours and that your supervisors that would then sign off on. So I think in terms of the information from our request for board staff's purposes would be to use the Arizona verification form for Dr. Hall, as well as the other two supervisors that completed the BACB verification documents for this application. And then
Dr. Hall, Michelle Kerska, and Heidi Eilers?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, I will take care of that.
I would also say that board staff will put together kind of a letter to you that will help you follow along, and that way you're not duplicating any work or there won't be any questions around what you need to submit for review.
Okay. Will there be a link to the form or you'll attach the forms that need to be filled out in the email, or?
I'll let board staff respond to how they'll interact with you.
Okay.
Yes, you'll be supplied with everything that you need. We follow through with the committee's directions.
Okay, great. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Looking forward to having you in Arizona.
Okay, let's see. Next item we'll move on to is discussion, consideration, possible action regarding withdrawal request from Lindley Day. Dr. Davey, you're the lead on that.
Yeah, committee members will remember we had an applicant come forward requesting to be licensed. And then in our discussion, we identified that her supervisor, while working in a school system, was not licensed as a behavior analyst here in the state of Arizona. Therefore, the 1,690 hours of supervision that were turned into us did not count, which is, I think, a travesty on several levels. After the applicant talked with us during the last call, you know, she was advised, she received a letter for additional information request from board staff, and then she has communicated to us that she would like to have her application withdrawn. A couple of things customary, I believe, I'm all for moving that forward to withdraw. I think also it's customary that we would maybe look at refunding some of those fees. I think we've had that discussion before at the board level. Had somebody withdraw. I think the other thing is that, I will not provide a ton of commentary on it, but I think that this is a big disservice, unfortunately, to this individual who's now going to have to go out and seek additional hours outside of the school to be able to be licensed in this state. And I feel for her.
Yeah. And I believe it's all of her hours, if I remember right.
Yep.
That's.
Yeah. I don't know if board staff had any other interactions with this individual other than email.
I don't believe so.
Because the only thing I would say is that I just hope that the supervisor in question here is not holding yourself out to be able to provide supervision towards licensure. And we don't have any mechanism for that because she's not licensed under our board. And so we can't do anything about it. But I would hope that we don't see this egregious error again.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Davey, I think this is the same school district. I don't believe it's the same BCBA, but the same school district that we had this come up before. And so I hope that as this comes up, I would hope that there would be some conversation at their level as their employees are saying, hey, now I can't get licensed or now I can't do this. I would hope that we would see some change in the future. Just for the sake of the students on the call, I think it's important to just know, in the exemptions for licensure, if you are employed by a public school system, the way that it's written is if you are employed and otherwise certified by the Department of Education. So if you're a teacher, a school psychologist, and you're also a BCBA, you do not have to be licensed as both. So you would be licensed as a teacher. And by the nature of being licensed as a teacher, you could practice ABA in the schools and utilize ABA independently. The challenge, though, is that when you then provide a supervision service, while that is not a violation of the statute, it does limit that individual's experience from being able to go outside of the school system, because the requirement for licensure does require that your minimum of 1500 hours is done by a licensed behavior analyst. So even though that individual in the school system may not be practicing without a license, it would be problematic in those that received supervision being able to seek then licensure. Are we able to, Ms. Galvin, are we able to confirm that the supervising behavior analyst is otherwise certified? Because I think that's the part of the exemption that I think kind of gets overlooked, is because it does say, and otherwise certified by the Department of Education. Do we know what the supervisors, are they a school teacher? Are they a school psychologist?
No, they're actually, according to the application, it looks as if they're based out of California, which was why my last question was going to be, I would love if we could send an informational letter to this individual that if they are providing supervision to Arizona people, they need to be licensed. If they're seeking if they're going to use it for their own licensure. We've sent a similar letter, if I remember, but it's not a cease and desist because we don't have jurisdiction, but it's more of an informational of like, hey, you need to be aware that you could be putting perhaps people that are paying you for supervision, which I would think is probably not a far off assumption based on this application, that you are not eligible to be able to provide supervision towards licensure in the state of Arizona. But I don't know if that's crossing a line or if we're not allowed to do that, but I defer to Ms. Galvin, our ACE attorney.
Well, thank you. I think if that kind of inquiry would help you consider this application, that the inquiry can at least be made.
Unfortunately, I don't think that even if we ask, I don't think there's any answer this individual can provide that changes the path for this. My concern is, are there others in the state of Arizona that this individual is providing supervision to that are going to hit the same boat or be in the same boat? And I can't answer that because I don't know what this individual, the supervisor, what her activities are in Arizona or what her business model is. But she has listed her address on our form that she completed as a supervisor, where she honestly circled that no, she's not in Arizona and was not there during the time of this. But she lists her residency in California.
I think a recommendation to the board to send her a letter that, her name has been associated with this application and understanding that she's not licensed and would hope that she would, is not supervising other individuals providing services here, that would probably be, could be warranted and would be appropriate.
I would appreciate that. I think that that would be a good step to helping protect, you know, again, protect the public. We could be protecting future licensed behavior analysts from having to redo hours. So I feel as if it is within our purview, and I would appreciate if we could send that letter.
Yeah, and I could help staff draft it if they want.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Davey, I don't know if this is something that we necessarily want to pursue or consider, but I do think of the ethics code, and I do think of specifically 1.02 that says that a behavior analyst conforms to the laws in the jurisdiction in which they're providing services, or the community in which they're providing services. So while we don't have jurisdiction, is this one of those circumstances that, one, we notify the individual, and if the individual responds, says, oh, you know, we get a satisfactory response that they understand, you know, because that's our first ethics requirement, right, is to go straight to the behavior analyst and say, hey, we have a problem here. And then, you know, see what information we get back. but could we also inform board staff to keep us informed, or when we send that letter, could we request a response back, and so that we can make sure that we're following the ethics code that does, again, state that we have to have a resolution, or we have an obligation to report it to the BACB. And so if we send a letter and we say, hey, we just wanted to make you aware of this, please, you know, confirm that you've received this, or, you know, please confirm for us that you're not providing supervision to anybody else, and the individual responds and says, oh, I didn't know, and no, this was a one-time thing or whatever, then we could call that resolved. But if the individual responds back or ignores the request to respond back, would we then have obligation to refer to the BACB?
I mean, our letter does not, I mean, Ms. Galvin could comment on it, but our letter does not have, it cannot compel her to probably respond. I mean, it's more of an informational, we can't compel the response back to us. Failure to respond to us, you know, maybe then it's like, maybe then you can go to the BACB. I don't know, but we don't have that jurisdiction over her.
Right. And I think that's where we get these hiccups that we've seen in the past that are that legal versus ethical. And mm-hmm. So if it doesn't fall under our jurisdiction historically, we've looked at, you know, we've resolved many, many, many situations where the BCBAs have responded back and have been incredibly, incredibly understanding. But then we get those ones that are like, I'm not going to respond to you and I don't have to, and all these other things, but they're still practicing within our community, which is still an ethics violation. So legally, it doesn't fall under our jurisdiction, but ethically it does. Not the board, but, you know, behavior analysts in general.
It seems that we've done this in the past. We've had actually invited people from out of state to respond to an application because of their, they didn't have a licensure in the state in which the supervision took place. So we've done that. How does this differ from that? We have an individual here who's an Arizona resident that had all her hours negated by somebody out of state. And this is not the first time it's happened. And we've taken, I thought, more serious action by inviting those people to have a discussion with us. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've gone as far as maybe a subpoena to have those people come and talk to us. How does this differ from those situations? Unless I'm not remembering it correctly.
No, you're remembering it correctly. We did do that in a case where we were interested to know if there were other individuals that were going to be affected by this based on information from, I think, the supervisor's website. In this case, I don't think we have that kind of information around the supervisor, but your memory is similar to what I remember in those terms. The other piece of information I think that would be very telling in this case is the applicant's supervision contract, right? What does that state? Does that state that you are working towards, you know, this licensure piece in the state of Arizona? And if that's the case, then that is egregious. So maybe the question is back to the applicant about that contract. And then that maybe opens up some further questions. I think the easy path is we just say, great, withdraw it, right? That's the easy path here, but I don't think that helps the public in the long term. I don't think it helps us as a state in Arizona procure and maintain behavior analysts that are licensed and able to help the families here. So that's the reason I think there needs to be more around this, and I'm open to whatever we're allowed to do.
Ms. Galvin, I agree with Dr. Davey. So at what point do we overstep our jurisdiction? We're charged with protecting the citizens of Arizona, but under the licensed behavior analysts, but yet we have people coming into the state that I'm going to say acting unethically. I was going to use the word ripping people off, but that might be too strong. So, and now it's out there, but it's, how far can we step as far as protection under the statutes that we're guided under?
So a subpoena is very unlikely to be adhered to when we serve it out of state because of laws of our state and other states. Individuals or entities outside of Arizona do not have to comply. I think you're well within your right to send a letter, and maybe why you don't need to file a complaint with the BACB, you could at least notify them of what you have been apprised of and let that entity decide whether to investigate further.
Could we hold just one moment, please? Ms. Malice, do you have a word for the CE?
Yes, I do. Dr. Stenhoff, the word is gymnastics. The code word is gymnastics.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the most recent and most congruent situation that I can think of was referred by the CBA to the board. The sequence of events, I believe, without having the file in front of me, but there was an invitation extended to the person to participate in a meeting, in a conversation with the CBA for purposes of the CBA, understanding, gathering facts, and then also for that individual to come away with a better understanding of Arizona law. In that instance, the individual declined to appear, and so it was forwarded to the board, and the board decided to make the referral to the BACB. So I would recommend that the next step be invite her to the December 2nd or potentially the January meeting to start that process.
Ms. Galvin, any legal advice on that?
That's an option that would be available to you. I'm not sure whether she would comply, and an invitation, if she does appear, would be helpful to gain additional information, convey the committee's position to her. That could be done in coordination with a letter inviting her to come, because that letter is going to be documentary evidence that you have alerted her to your concerns. Okay. And it goes beyond an invitation, but you can certainly do both.
Okay. Dr. Davis Wilson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Ms. Galvin, I think that, one of the things that has happened that is a little bit unique in this circumstance, but in some of those others that we've seen, is that there's been some sort of email correspondence that has also given us some of that information as to say, like, no, maybe you're not getting it and you need to come forward. I think that a letter could be sufficient in and of itself, that I don't know that if we were to provide a letter that just says, please reply with an answer to these two questions. Are you supervising anybody else in Arizona? And two, do you understand essentially what we're explaining to you? And if she replies back and says, oh my gosh, I didn't know. And this was a school teacher. And she said she looked at the statute and it was okay. And we thought we were all fine and yada, yada, yada. That may suffice. I think the times that we've said, no, let's call them forward. There's been email correspondence with board staff that has been things like, but I'm board certified, or, but that doesn't apply here. Or, you know, I don't have to do that because I don't even live in Arizona. So I think that written communication piece historically has always been there. We've never really just invited someone in without some sort of indication that they weren't understanding. And then, you know, sometimes they come in and they're like, I totally get it, I re-reviewed and whatever. And then other times we have other outcomes. But I almost think that it could be sufficient enough and almost save our time, headache, heartache, administrative costs to just send the letter, request a response, because the BACB has in here that you'll respond in a timely fashion to any of these requests. We send the letter, we request the response, we get the response. If we find out they're supervising six people and a subcontracted clinical director at an agency, well, then we have a different pathway. But if they respond back and just say, hey, sorry, I didn't know, and here are the circumstances, then perhaps that is enough for us. Just their response is enough for us to determine whether or not we feel the issue's been resolved, or we feel the issue we need to notify the other entity.
Dr. Davey, any further discussion on that?
No, I'm glad we're going to have a path forward.
Okay.
So at this point, though, the question is, Ms. Galvin, to keep this matter going, do we accept this withdrawal, or do we postpone accepting this withdrawal of this application for a period of time?
No, I don't think the withdrawal needs to be held up. I would go ahead and allow that. There are issues that can be addressed distinctly, and you don't have to hold it up.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Then I would move that this application be allowed to be withdrawn, or move it to the board.
Okay. Let's vote on that item alone right now. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. And I want to step back to agenda item 6A, and can I have a motion with the exceptions noted by board staff for the applications that we reviewed?
So moved.
Okay.
I will second.
Ms. Galvin, do we need to individually list those exceptions, or can we go ahead and vote as we discussed?
I think it's sufficient. The motion as you made it.
Okay.
I'm sure Ms. Malice has the details.
Okay. Ms. Malice, are you all set on that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I will second.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right. I know that Dr. Davey on agenda item number 8, future agenda items. Dr. Davey, do you want to restate that? I know board staff noted that as well.
I think it's with regard to, I think board staff captured it, with regard to the supervisor, Chelsea Moore.
Okay.
Actions around that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other items for upcoming meetings?
Just a question of clarification there, Ms. Galvin. Like, you know, we're going to open that up as a future board meeting. Is there any pre-work that can be done by the board the board staff to gather information versus us just coming back to say, yeah, that's of interest, we want to take it on? or is there some pre-work that would be allowed?
I mean, pre-work is always allowed. If you believe it would be beneficial to maybe have a meeting with myself and Ms. Pekkanen, then I'm sure we would be willing to do that in advance of the meeting to see if any information can be gathered that would help your deliberations.
Yeah, I think there's probably some key pieces of information that we could request from this individual, maybe prior to the meeting, that could help us go a little bit faster versus us dragging this out for 2 months. I'm be happy to meet with you and talk to you about that.
Oh, that's fine.
It may be very similar to what we just discussed in terms of getting some clarification.
Other items. Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the last item, adjourn. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, second?
I will second.
All right, any further discussion? All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, meeting's adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.